Okay. Shall we just pray? Father, we thank you for this time together. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I confess, even in my life sometimes, we almost talk to Jesus and the Father, and we somehow ignore the one that's resident and dwelling within us. Holy Spirit, be with us, we pray, and bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's nice to be back with you all. It's great to see you all, and lots of new faces as well. And nice to see our friend Tony Sargent. We didn't know he was going to turn up today. We were living in Splott together, and he just popped up today. So, you know, that was great. Great to see you, and welcome everybody. It's kind of, you know what I'm speaking on, so you can understand the title, so I don't need to explain the title that we're talking about, the Holy Spirit, today. I was looking recently, or to do with on the Radio 4 website, and it was interesting that it was talking about the digital human. I don't know if anybody's listened to any of these sessions on Radio 4. I think you have to be over a certain age to listen to Radio 4, probably. But but it's all about the technology and the kind of the sort of society that we're living in now. Everything's becoming digital. Everything's becoming wireless. And they've done some surveys on I don't know what bird this is. If there aren't any bird experts here, a what?
A zebra finch.
A zebra finch. Wow, excellent. But they've done. I've got to be careful what I say now. We've got some experts in the room. They've done some tests, and they know, they've put certain things on this bird's brain or whatever, and they've worked out, they know exactly what song he's going to sing before he sings it. And it's always Mariah Carey. No, it's not. They know exactly what he's going to tweet, the tune he's going to sing before he does that. And this is all related to Facebook as well, that have set up a committee all to do with texting with the mind. Now, this is scary stuff. That they believe that within a few years, they've set up a committee, you have a look at this, Facebook, and they're saying that within a few years, we'll be texting with our minds, which is kind of scary, really. And they've already done some tests, as I say, on birds. You know what it's like, the kind of life that we're living. I come home from football sometimes on a Thursday night, I'm thinking, oh, my kit's in the back of the car, is my phone in the bag? You don't need to look, because you see it connected straight away with your player at the front of the car and so forth. So everything's digital. Everything's wireless. And I was thinking about this in relation to the Holy Spirit, that God's been wireless for quite a while, hasn't he? If you think about it. And he's been speaking in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, 3G wireless. We'll go into that a little bit later. And how he communicates in this way. And so I want to look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as usual, I've put too many eggs in the pudding. So I'm really sorry about that today. You're going to have a lot of information. Hopefully, if it's recorded, you can play it again. And I'm always told that I say too much. And I should sort of do it into two sermons. But I'm only here for 1 week. So you've got all the eggs in one pudding today. So please bear with me as I talk very quickly and try and carry you through this. One of the things about the Holy Spirit that always fascinates me is this. He's incredibly powerful. We read about him raising Jesus from the dead, and you think of the incredible things that the Holy Spirit is in. But he's incredibly fragile as well. It's only the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, that we can grieve, that we can hurt. Bill Johnson says that you should always walk around as if there's a dove on your shoulder, and you are sensitive to the thought of grieving the Holy Spirit of God. But you don't read about grieving the Son or the Father in the same sense, and it's the Holy Spirit that we can grieve. So he's sensitive, and you remember, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit can't come until I go. And so the Holy Spirit coming to earth is connected with the fact that Jesus has died and ascended into heaven, and it's the proof, it's the evidence, how God now communicates wirelessly to us that Jesus is in heaven, having won this incredible victory. And so he doesn't compete. Jesus goes, he comes. He's a sensitive bird, the dove. But he's incredibly powerful as well. And as we'll see on the day of Pentecost, you see the picture of fire, as well as, you know, we think about him in relation to the dove and so forth. So when we look very quickly at the Old Testament, it's the word wind. And the Hebrew and the Greek word have got similar thoughts. The Greek word is the word pneumatic, or pneuma, and I'm sure you know, you can work that out, the power of pneumatics. And the Hebrew word also has the thought of wind. It's the same word that's used of Adam when he walked in the cool, the breath, the air of the day. You read this first mention of the Holy Spirit, and it's interesting. You see him as wind hovering. And then you read about in John's Gospel, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as wind. And in Acts chapter 2, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Wind, 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 wind. Air. This is the thought, and this is behind the Hebrew word and the Greek word as well. And we read the Spirit of God was hovering. Some people say that's the thought of incubation. But it has the thought of hovering and ready for action. Dynamic, creative, Holy Spirit of God. The Hebrew word, it comes from a Hebrew word which I'm not even going to say, because I'll probably say it wrong, and it means to be spacious and refreshed. The word is used in 1 Samuel chapter 16. You remember when David played the harp, and Saul was refreshed, and he became well, and the evil spirit departed. My mind went to Ephesians when we read about forgiveness, unforgiveness and all these things. If we're not careful, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we read here that as he was playing the harp, the evil spirit departed and there was more of the Holy Spirit. So the more of the Holy Spirit we have, there'll be less badness in that sense. It's used in Jeremiah of a wide house and a large house. Esther talks about relief. And you remember when Jacob was frightened that Edom was going to kill him, his brother Esau, he said, give me some space. So this is the thought, air, space, width. How often have we said, isn't it? I just need some space. I was in work recently and I was really anxious. I had wall-to-wall meetings and I just prayed to God and I said, Holy Spirit, I just need some space today. And it was incredible. Meetings were cancelled and there was just incredible space in my day. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And we'll see that there are pictures in the Old Testament of how the Holy Spirit is going to behave in the New. And one of the things that he does, he creates air, space, when life's crushing in. And so as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, like when you see those cans on the floor that are dented and crushed, if you can blow them up with air, they become healed again. And that's the thought, this air. In terms of the Holy Spirit. But there are hints of what's going to happen in the future. You read this about Saul. The Spirit of the Lord came upon you, will come upon you. And look at this. You'll become a different person. So the Holy Spirit changes us. But we're going to see this. It also keeps us the same as well. Jesus said this in Luke 24. You will be clothed with the Holy Spirit. And I love, we were looking at Gideon in our Bible study recently, and you read this, Gideon was clothed, and it's like the word for a glove. It's the same word that's used of Adam and Eve that were clothed with skins. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's like a glove. He fits you. You see, religion wants to kind of duplicate and make everybody the same, but God says, I want to keep you the same. I want to keep you the same. I want to keep your shape. Some of us maybe don't want to keep the shape, the same shape that we've got, maybe. But he says, I want to change you, but I want to keep you the same. And you read about the Holy Spirit with regards to Gideon. And he fits him like a glove as he comes upon him. And God says, I want to give you an identity. Be yourself. Everybody else is taken. I want to make you unique. And fit you like a glove. So there are pictures in the Old Testament. Moses, and we're going to see, and this is where I'm going to be going. What happened with Moses and what happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, they're all parallel. It was a picture of what was going to happen in the future day. Moses' wish was this. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his spirit on them. What an amazing prayer. And then you read that God took the spirit from Moses and he distributed it down to the people that were with him, and they began to prophesy. What a picture of what would happen in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2. When Jesus goes up into heaven, not the mount like Moses, and he distributes the Spirit. And we'll see later on, Moses gave the law as gifts, and Jesus goes up and he distributes gifts through the Holy Spirit. so that we could be complete in him, knowing what our destiny is and what our gifts are. So just like Moses goes up the mount, and in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, all the Jews would have realized this is what happened with Moses, but only better. And so these are pictures of what was going to happen in a future day. And what does Joel say? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Everybody. Moses' prayer. I wish that everybody could prophesy and would be filled with the Spirit of God. So, these are little pictures of what's going to happen in a future day. So when you come to Acts chapter 2, it's very interesting the way that the verse reads. You read this, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Now that word fully come is the word that's used when Jesus' disciples were in a boat in Luke chapter 8, and you read this, the boat was swamped with water. Exactly the same word. It means this, to be fully fulfilled. So if there's prophecies building up, this is it. Swamped. It's used of the death of Jesus when we read this, when his time was come and he goes to the cross. This is it. Fully fulfilled. It's used of the sponge filled with, was it water or vinegar? I forget. Vinegar. You all said vinegar then, didn't you? Thank you. It's the same word. It's completely absorbed. This is it. And it's interesting that it's connected with Jesus going into heaven. The Holy Spirit come in and fully come. That's the word. You can't get any more fulfilled then. The interesting thing is, and I don't understand it, the word when is the same word. So you could say, fully fulfilled, the day of Pentecost, fully fulfilled. I think God's trying to say, everything was happening on the day of Pentecost. Everything that was building up to this. There's nothing better after in that sense. We have a cleaner on a Friday. Since Abigail was ill, we've had a cleaner. She's getting a lot better, but we've still got the cleaner. So we've got a good excuse now, haven't we, to keep the cleaner going. And Debbie's going to kill me after this. I know she is. And she might know what I'm going to say. The night before the cleaner comes, she gets a bit stressed because she's got to clean the house. She will explain to you what that means, but it's fully cleaned, fully cleaned by the end of Friday. That's the thought behind this verse. But it's connected with the death of Jesus, you see. It's complete. It's done. It's finished. We've had problems all week in the house with my electrics tripping. We came home from London last weekend and the freezer was off. Nightmare. You plug in each thing one by one. Is this tripping it? And you've got to wait like almost a day before it trips. Nightmare trying to find this electrical fault. Plugging things out individually. And you're like getting up in the morning. You think, oh, is the light on? Oh, it's still on. Oh, good. And then half an hour later, oh, it's gone off. Anyway, electrician comes. He's changed the trip. And it's been working for like 3 days. But can I relax? You know what it's like? You get up. Oh, is it there? Has it tripped? It's finished. And we're like that with some things that happen in our past. This is like an electrical fault, which is just a small little leak down to earth. But it's causing problems in my life. And there are things sometimes that happen in our past, and we don't realize that God has fully fulfilled. He's completed it. He's got the power to sort us out. We've got to rest on him. We've got to trust him. We've got to believe him. And the evidence is the Holy Spirit that comes down and swamps them and is connected with the death of Jesus. Fully, he's got you covered. He's got you covered. Trust him. And I'm preaching to myself because I worry so much. So let me preach to myself for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? He's gone and he's won this amazing victory and he's fully fulfilled, swamped, covered. Doesn't get much better than this. And he's given us the Holy Spirit in an amazing way. Everything was building up to this. You see, when the law was given with Moses, and there are incredible parallels between the two, it was the birthday of the law. The word Torah is the Jewish word for law. And you've got the birthday of the church. Moses goes up. He receives the law. God's Spirit distributes onto other people. They're gifted and they build a tabernacle. God, Jesus goes up. The Spirit comes down. He talks about gifts. And we start to build the church. We're all in the building trade, basically. This is what you read in Ephesians 4. One body, one spirit. Each one of us gifts. This is why it says, look at these words in red. I'm sorry, there's a lot of eggs now in the pudding, okay? So stay with me. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. And then he talks about the gifts, prophets, evangelists, so that there's be the measure of the fullness of Christ. And it's this word filling up, swamping. You read the first few chapters of Acts, filled, 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 swamped, filled. And the interesting thing is this. Look at these red words. When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gifts to his people. The Jewish Targum says this. They translate it in this way. You, Moses, ascended to heaven. You have learned the word of Torah and gave them as gifts. See the parallel with what's going on in the Old Testament and the New. So when the day of Pentecost is going on, the Jews would have thought, whoa, this is just like Moses, only better. And so you read a new covenant. And 3,000 people died when the law was given, and 3,000 people were made alive when the Spirit was given. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And when you read Acts chapter 2, you read about David didn't ascend to the throne in heaven, but Jesus did. And so the Jews would have seen two things going on. Moses and David going up. A picture of that. And two things. David, authority. Jesus as a David, sitting on the throne gives us authority. And Moses distributed the gifts to build the tabernacle. And for us to build the church, Jesus distributes the gifts. Ability. We need both. Sometimes we've got ability, but we're not confident. Jesus has swamped it. He's done it. We have authority to exercise the gifts that he's distributed to us. And just like Moses, thank you, just like Moses distributed the gifts to build the tabernacle, they all had ability. You've got an ability. You've got a unique gift because of the Holy Spirit. But you've got authority as well. So you need to find out what your gift is. And you need to be filled with it. Psalm 78. I'm saying too much and I'm sorry. You come back again. Did you want cash or a check? Psalm 68. Did you know there are 13 words that aren't used anywhere else? 13 new words. It's new. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit. So much to say. So little time. And so at the end, Moses, they brought the tabernacle and they said, this is what we've built. And so we, because we have authority and ability, we also build the church to fill, to be complete. I love this verse. You are complete in him. Find out what your gift is and be filled with the Holy Spirit and you will be filled and complete in him. You see, the day of Pentecost is all about communication. If you think about it, what happened, one of the big things that happened in Acts chapter 2, communication. Communication. They all heard the same message. They all heard in their same language. We'll see in a moment, in their same dialect is the Greek word. This is communication on a massive scale. Big problem though, isn't it? Because we can't communicate anymore. We can say what we like. We can have wonderful worship services. We can do incredible work. But the church has lost the art of communication. People think we're in the dark ages. People think we haven't got a clue. There was a time when the church was at the forefront. Slavery. Women. We're on the back foot. You read the book of the Acts and they're on the front foot. We're on the back foot. We've lost how to effectively communicate. And Acts chapter 2 gets us back on the same page. Because that's what they did. They all heard. Jews from every nation under heaven. Same message. And it marked them out. You see, when the law was given on the first day of Pentecost, it marked them out. Surely this is an amazing nation. Look, what other nation is so great? The nations will say this. When the law was given, it marked Israel out. When the Spirit was given, it marked them out. It communicated to the world what was going on. Somebody has said that by keeping the laws, they were the Lord's intentional contrast society. They say that when Moses had the law given, 72 nations heard what was going on. That's a rabbinic tradition. Not sure how true that is. But the thought is this. Communication. It marked them out. The law. These people are different. They're real. We've got to keep it real. And it marked them out. And I thought, am I getting carried away with this? This thought of, it's all about communication. I thought, am I getting carried away? Because I get carried away sometimes with things. So I had a look at what the words mean. And look at this. I love this. The word that's used when they heard this sound in Acts chapter 2 is the word phone. I'll try this side. The word, it's the word phone. Isn't that incredible? It's not wireless though, but I love the picture. I had to put that up there. God phoned people. He communicated in Acts chapter 2. We need to keep the art of communication. Some of you have heard the story before that I went to China back in February or March with work. And it's quite weird when you go into China. It's almost like they don't want you to come into their country. There's all these photographs saying, there's videos playing in the airport saying, you know, no photographs. You know what I mean? And there's these little children with photographs on the video, and there's people going up to them like this, telling them off. And then there's people talking loudly on the video, little children, and there's people going up to the children like this, and the children are crying. It's weird. Sorry if there's any link with China here, but that's the impression I got when I went into the country. And then they take your fingerprints. So I'm like, oh my word, you know? Do they want me to come into this country? We were going to do business with them and, you know, give them money and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, it kind of settled down, and I thought, oh, let's get through passport control. And there was this lady behind the passport control, and she seemed a little bit more human, a bit more friendly. And I sort of gave her my passport, and she gave it back. And then she went like that. So I went like that. And as I walked away, the security came, and they were going to lock me up. Because she wasn't going like that. She wanted my thumbprint. It's a big story in work. Every time I see my mates in work, they're like that. It's a bit embarrassing. It's communication, isn't it? It's communication. You know, when they communicated on the day of Pentecost, when they heard them in their own language, and I've said this before, it's the word dialecto, which is the word dialect. So if they were Cardiff people there, they would have said peck. If they were Newport people there, they would have said town. If they were Newcastle people, they would have said toon. And Merthyr people would have said bought. I'm from Merthyr, so I'm mocking myself, really. They heard them. This is the impact of God when he communicates all on the same page. It's the same dialect. They're like, it must have hit them. This is incredible. It hit them. And you know, the word Torah, law, when Moses was given the law, it literally means to hit the mark. So they hit the mark on the day of Pentecost. The word Torah literally means to fire an arrow. It's a principle. It's a guide. It's not all about religiously keeping everything. It's a guide. It's a principle in life for us to know how to be complete and filled and content and to know what our gift is. And the word law, it literally means to fire, to aim. The word sin means to miss. I'm sure you know that. And that's when we mess up. And we miss. And we make a mess of our roles in our family or with our friends or whatever. And we know we've messed up. But God wants us to hit the mark. And that's what this thought is. In Acts chapter 2, it hit the mark. You know, this is it. Doesn't get much better than this. And you see, when you practice your gift, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's only when you feel complete. You've seen them on X Factor. When people, years ago, I remember Simon Cowell saying, after somebody sang a song, how do you feel? And he said, complete. Because when you're in your gift, and you're in the direction God wants you, you're complete, filled, swamped. You know this is it. You're not empty. Because you're not yourself when you're empty of you. As Mr. Bean once showed us, dressed as a Chinaman running on a roof. You're not you when you're hungry. And God wants us to be us. He wants us to be complete. We were in a leaders' conference yesterday. Some people from Eden, Simon and Sarah, Nick, and Simon's over the road today, isn't he? Simon was there as well. And they were saying, how do you know what your gift is? And I thought this was really helpful. And they said, if it's something that energizes you and doesn't deplete you, if something is draining you, it's not your gift. Because when you practice your gift, you'll be complete. You'll be filled. You'll be energized. And that's the Holy Spirit. Complete. Swamped like a boat filled with water. Do you remember Bishop Curry's sermon? Wasn't that great? Everybody's been going on about it in the royal wedding. It was quite amazing, wasn't it? And he spoke about the law, and he said it's summed up in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. The law is summed up in love. And he said about fire. And he said, if we can learn to love again, it will be like discovering fire for the second time. And in the book of the Acts, with the Holy Spirit, it was incredible. The fire that they had and the love, because they were connected, they were filled, and they were on the right course. I think Frankie Goes to Hollywood had it right when they said this, the power of love, a force from above. But the Holy Spirit's dangerous as well, because it's a fire. And you remember Aslan in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Oh, he's a good lion, but he's not safe. And so there is this wildness and this incredible power that's available because of the Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning that we would all find out what energizes us, that we would be filled and thrilled with the Holy Spirit of God, so that we might become those cans that aren't dented anymore, that we blow into and we're filled and swamped, so that we can be on course to serve God as we should do. The power of love, the force from above. Should we just pray? Father, we thank you that the contract you've given us is pray as you go. And this is 3G. And I know 4G sounds better, but 3G is better because it's the Trinity. Thank you, Lord, for your wireless connection. Because you said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we thank you for your Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we pray that we would walk carefully with the dove next to us. That we would not be guilty of grieving you in any way. Help us to know the wildness of the fire of the Holy Spirit, but also the gentleness and the patience. And as we've been thinking, the love, the power of love, the force from above. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing upon us through this day now. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.